right.
How is your husband, by the way, Sharon? We see that he didn't come lumbering in here this morning. No, no, no. All right, let's open up in prayer. Who's got the wireless mic? Who's controlling that? All right, let's see here. Give it to Miss Katie back there. She's all right, go ahead. Open us in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for letting us gather together today. And I pray that we'll have a good message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I mean, that was deep. That is moving. I just tell you, you know. You can tell you're a college attendee. Few of words. Thank you. Send her that text, please.
Yes.
Amen. Bob was supposed to begin this class. We're actually starting a series. I handed out here some notes. We're going to start with a video here today. Ed, if you would, you know, let me give you this, Ed. You can run that. You can do the mic. You can run the thing. It's a little, anybody ever saw the movie The Mystery Men? No, well, after this, you will. Hit the lights for me, please. All right, make sure we got some volume here. Just a couple-minute little video. This will be a good movie for you to see over the holidays and discuss with your family.
In a place called Champion City, the forces of good and evil...
Captain Emerson, what a surprise.
...are about to collide.
Well, we've always been each other's greatest nemesises.
Nemesis.
Now, with the city's one true hero missing...
Captain Amazing is in danger.
Kaboom. Who will step forward...
You again. Wannabes.
...to answer the call of justice.
Don't mess with the volcano, my man. Because I will go Pompeii on your...
Golly.
They've been waiting for this moment.
The city's in peril, Lucille.
All of their lives.
Butch needs his vest back.
Well, it's my vest, too. I bought it for him.
But now that their time has come...
I'm a superhero, too.
What's his power?
They're going to need all the help they can get.
You got to find a lot of superheroes really quickly.
State your name and power.
PMS Avenger. I only work 4 days a month. Is there a problem with that?
No.
No.
I am the Waffler.
Waffler!
Am I too late to try out?
Sorry.
You're in.
Wow, my first mission and we're going to rescue Captain Amazing.
Here we go.
Universal Pictures presents...
We need to talk about your plans.
I'm going to kill you.
Right, that's the part that really doesn't work for me.
A new league of heroes that step to a different beat.
Well, I am a ticking time bomb of fury.
I don't find you threatening at all.
Let's do some carnage.
We're not your classic heroes. We're the other guys.
Mystery Men.
I'm invisible! Can you see me?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an old movie. Now, there's a reason I showed that. The whole play on it is that their hero gets captured and eventually gets killed. And these guys have to step forward. They think they've got superpowers, but they've got nothing. They're okay. It's all kind of made-up stuff. But they end up saving the day. And so when Bob and I had got together, we were talking about the unsung heroes in the book of Acts. And as you go through the book of Acts, as you do through the Bible, you know, a lot of times our expectation is God's going to use somebody who's great, somebody who's been educated, or somebody who's got the experience or whatever it is. But as we study the scriptures, we find out that's not the case. We find out that God uses ordinary people. And if you remember, probably about a month and a half ago, Pastor John did a message here, God uses ordinary people. And so part of the reason that we wanted to have this class is really to encourage each one of you that God will use you. It's just a matter of, do you want to be used? Do you want to submit to Him? And we're not looking for, he's not looking for the superstar TV preacher, evangelist, or, you know, the college professor. He's looking for ordinary people that will do extraordinary things. And so I showed this clip here today because, and I would really encourage you guys to get the movie. It's actually a very funny movie. Very ordinary people, but they're put into a situation where they got to kind of band together and everything kind of works out. And they end up saving the day. And isn't that kind of how it is in the Scripture? As we look through, as I said, the entire Bible, we see the same thing. Now, over the course of the next 10 weeks, we're going to be looking at these unsung heroes. And if you look on your sheet there, just go down here real quick. Brian Wilkerson, he's going to be doing Give God Credit No Matter What It Costs You. Okay. John Clinton will be doing The Servant Doesn't Always Bring Praise and Recognition. Right, Fred? Esther? A lot of times it brings more headaches. Right? But that's, hey, we're not called to step up on the podium like we're at the Academy Awards. We're called to serve the King no matter what, right? Ed Madrano, overcoming fear to do God's work. Many of us, we operate in fear a lot of times. We don't want to step out. We're afraid. One of the scariest things, and a lot of people say, well, Pastor Don, hey, you have no problem speaking in front of crowds and that. But, years ago, I was in the same boat where, I was being invited to speak at universities or doing debates and those type of things. And there's a great deal of, trepidation in accepting those things. It's like, who am I? When Sammy invited me over to the Henry Ford to debate this guy, I just thought I was going to be one of the professors. Next thing I know, they're shipping in guys from, halfway across the world. And then the one guy stepped out, and it was another guy that stepped in. But sometimes we just have to rely on God, prepare the best that we can, and go from there. Ed Lindenbaugh will be doing listening for and obeying God's personal word for you. All right? So many people think they get a personal word. That's a part of the problem. Never get it checked out. But when God does speak to you, what does He expect you to do? Ray Silva, when God calls, never give up. I was watching the movie, where's Ray at? I thought maybe he's downstairs. You ever see the movie Galaxy Quest? It's kind of a spin-off of the Star Trek, but one of the sayings was never give up, never surrender. And that should be our call as Christians. And so these are all going to be taken from the book of Acts. Sammy's going to be making the right or godly decision, even if it's not popular. During this Christmas season, there's a lot of unpopular decisions that we have to make. Anybody read about the principal on the East Coast who banned the word Christmas and the Christmas carols and Santa Claus? And it was made major headlines. And obviously the school board, when they switched it, didn't they, Brian? It came under. But you see, that's what's happening, is that the world is switching things, and it's not popular to say Merry Christmas. How many of you have been in the store shopping and, have a happy holiday? I always like what Bob said. Well, have a good Arbor Day, or, happy Halloween, and they kind of look at you, I say, well, Merry Christmas. And when you say that, and then you find people. Roger. And you appreciate that. Not that that means they're saved and going to heaven, but yet they recognize what this season is all about. Like Little Linus, addressing Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown, and he, recites from Luke there. There were shepherds out in the field, and he says, Charlie Brown, this is what Christmas is all about. Somebody told me the other day, and I think it was Debbie O'Rourke, and I don't know this. How many of you watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special? I mean, we've all seen it over the years, haven't we? Who's Linus? He's the one that holds the blanket. And I didn't know this. Apparently a pastor wrote a blog on this, and I have to watch it just to confirm it. But when Linus is up on the stage reciting Luke, he gets to the part where he says that Christ is a comforter to those who need comfort, and he sets down his blanket for the one. Fear not. And he drops his blanket. It's the only time in all the Charlie Brown comic strips that he puts down that security blanket. I didn't know. I thought that was really cool how in Christ that, he tells us not to fear. And here you got Linus. But, it was such a subtle thing. I like that. We have Fred Ramsey going to be, use what God has given you both in the physical and the spiritual. And so many people think that, the natural, the physical world is, it's not that important. And we talk about this all the time. What you do in the physical is just as spiritual many times, getting down and praying on your knees or reading your Bible. Your work, the way you treat your husband or your wife, your relationships, all those things are reflection or should be. Donovan Rowe. Now, I like his title. Kathy. I don't know who picked this title for him, but it's like 4 pages long. But, do not hide any truth or fact you know from your leaders. They need to know all the information they can get to make the right decision. What kind of title is that? I think that was a Bob Cassidy. You know, he started speaking in tongues and it just started rolling off his... But I thought, how appropriate for Donovan. You know, Donovan likes to break down the words. Break down those words, it'll take him a year and a half. Okay, we're going to look at do, you know, in the Greek. All right, Ken O'Rourke's going to do protect those you have charge over no matter the cost to you. So in the next 10 weeks, those will be the topics. They're all going to be taken from the book of Acts. So you have an assignment to read the book of Acts. Very good. There's 28 chapters, which means if you read, 4 or 5 chapters a day, you should be able to get through it in a week. So it's a book that we're going to use as the foundation for this class, and it's going to give us that example, the unsung heroes of the book of Acts. As you go through it, just mark in your Bible or write down in your notepad, those whom just kind of come out of nowhere, do something, and then they disappear. You know, I was telling the story how when you just put yourself out there, you say, God, here I am, use me. You never know how God is going to use you. Things begin to happen. And I shared this at the Bible study on Thursday. Maybe some of you heard this, but about a week and a half ago, there was a young girl here who asked me to go and pray for her uncle. Her uncle was dying of cancer. And I'm like, okay, I'm kind of busy, but, I'll do it. That's kind of an important thing. And, I was hoping that it would be right here in Melvindale or Allen Park. I said, well, where's your uncle live? Oh, he lives in Garden City. And I'm like, oh, man, I gotta come and drive all the way over there? So I said, okay, I'll do it. So they gave me the directions and put them in your GPS. Boom, boom, went out. It's a little house right off Cherry Hill and out by Merriman. Not that familiar with the area. But so I went out there, and I went in the house, and her lady there, and she looks at me, and she says, I know you. No. I know you. And I'm like looking at her, and I didn't recognize her. She goes, do you go to Sabina's restaurant? Do I go to Sabina's restaurant? I mean, they got, heck, they make their mortgage payment on how many times I go in there. And she goes, you go in there all the time? I said, yes. And it was her husband. He was like in his mid-30s. And she said, I've seen you in there. She said, I've only been working there for about a month. And I'm thinking to myself, how funny is this? This is 22 miles away from here. She's got to drive in here. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, if you're going to get a job as a waitress, you're going to be right in the area maybe where you live. But yet, that's how God many times will open doors. And it was amazing what happened. So the mother came in. There was guys in it. Everybody came in, got to sit down and share the gospel with him and then pray for this guy. And he rededicated his life to the Lord. He told me he had been a Christian and had walked away. So, once again, here, I'm kind of dragging my, I don't want to do it, but I'll do it. Like that guy in the Bible, his dad told him, he said, go work out in the field, son. I don't feel like doing it. And then the other son says, yeah, I'll go do it, but he didn't do it. The other son changed his mind and went out there, and Jesus said, who did his will? So there's a lot of times we don't want to do what God has called us to do, but we find out when we do it, we get blessed. Whether we go joyfully, which is the way we should do it, or we drag our feet, which, unfortunately sometimes, just be honest, we're tired or we got other things going on, and sometimes things are an inconvenience. And as you read through the book of Acts, you're going to see almost every time they did something, it was an inconvenience for them. But yet then God did something. We're going to start off with 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 30. And though this is not from the book of Acts, this should be a scripture that we all remember. So I'm going to ask Elma to read it. Hand her the microphone there. Good to see you this morning, Elma. All right, go ahead, Elma.
Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. But let him who boasts, boast in the Lord his God.
Okay, this is probably one of my favorite scriptures because it puts us in our place, doesn't it? If you think that you're smart, if you think that you're wise, if you think you're somebody, remember this, because you were really a nobody. Okay, that doesn't mean that God can't take somebody who's very educated. We know the Apostle Paul, he was a rabbi. He was very educated. In fact, he has an encounter with one of the kings there, and the king says, Paul, your great learning is making you mad. You know, and he says, no, I'm in my right mind. But as we're going to see here in a minute, that the majority of us were people, just ordinary people. You know, I know people that when they came to Christ, their lives changed incredibly. Learned how to read. Learned how to raise their family correct. Learned how to serve God. Begin getting blessed in all these different areas. And so there's a transformation that takes place. The smartest thing you ever do, you can be an Einstein. You can have an IQ of 200. But if you don't know Christ, you're a dummy. All right? But the lowliest person who makes Christ the Savior of their life is, the Bible says this right. You know what it says? The beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord, the acknowledgement, the reverential serving of who God is. So if you want to be smart, give your life to Christ, because you're going to see things from His perspective, and that is the correct perspective. All right? So anytime that you feel like you're somebody, watch out. When you think you stand, beware, lest you fall. So as we go through the Scriptures, we see, and even in this paragraph here, how many times God chose, God chose, God chose. We like to think that we chose God. In a sense, we did. But it tells us in Ephesians that He chose us before the foundation of the world. I mean, just to think, why? Why would He choose us? Because of His sovereign choice. That's it. Not anything you did, because we were all sinners. We were all at enmity with Him. We were all His enemies prior to coming to Christ. But it says He chose us, like a child being adopted, in a home. It's the parents that come and don't want that one, don't want that, I'll take that one, So we see that He chose us, and that really sets the case, and that's what separates Christianity from all the other religions, because everybody else say, well, I chose God, or I decided to serve God, or I did this, or I did that, and all we can say is, I didn't do anything. If it wasn't for His grace and mercy, I would be in the same boat as you guys. So over the course of the next few weeks, this is what we're going to try to do. Our objective is lay a foundation for what is to be taught in the coming weeks, gain an understanding of that we were chosen by God, not because of our abilities, influence, riches, or standing, but through His sovereign choice. That's an important thing to know. Yes, we do make a choice. We do that. But it's Him moving upon our hearts to respond. I like what He told Nicodemus. He told Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound of it, but you know not whence it comes from. So it is with everyone born of God. The Spirit of God moves upon us, like on the original creation where the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters, doing something. He draws us. So we're going to examine the 12 apostles' lives. Today we're looking at a little bit, just quickly, the jobs they came from and where they ended their lives. Four, we'll discuss the attributes which made the apostles great. And you can see I can't put numbers. I got two fours there. So that should prove that scripture I just read to you. Not many of you were wise. I can't count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. My typing is not very good. And then number four again. Assign the reading of the book of Acts for a backdrop for the unsung heroes from the book of Acts. So that is your task over the Christmas holidays here. Read through that book. So as we come back on Sundays, you guys already understand. All right, let's look at the 12 apostles. And this is not a real in-depth look at them, but it's just kind of a overview to get an understanding. I think most of us know most of them. Who can name the 12 apostles without looking at the sheet? Yeah. Okay, so we all are familiar with at least a few of them. Memorizing the list there. We'll go down the list. Andrew, Peter, James, John, Matthew, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Jude, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, James, son of Alphaeus, Judas Iscariot, and Matthias, who replaced Judas. Now, some of them, if you remember the class we did before, Bob did it on the different names some of these guys had. So Peter was known as Cephas. They had like nicknames and what have you. So sometimes when you're reading through there, they'll use their regular name or they're given another name. But we don't know a lot about the majority of them as far as where they came from. The scripture is silent. Church tradition tells us certain things, and a lot of times that's reliable, but we also got to be careful. But if you see there, Andrew, he was a fisherman, Peter, James, and John. They're the ones we're introduced to in the Gospels, and they kind of take the place of prominence beside Judas. The other ones we read about on occasion, for example, like Thomas, what was Thomas known for? The doubting Thomas, that's exactly right. I mean, that's become a phrase that we use today. Somebody who needs physical proof as opposed to somebody who just believes because they have been told the gospel. Okay? Judas, we know a whole lot about Judas, don't we? Somebody call you Judas, what do they mean? You're a traitor. Benedict Arnold, somebody who's, you know, who's going to betray you. Yeah. Okay, so we see that the first four of them were fishermen. Matthew, we know, was a tax collector. How well liked were tax collectors in the day of Jesus? Even today they got a worse reputation. Okay. So we see that these guys, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of us have a tendency to think that fishermen were like the lowest rung on the ladder. But they really weren't. They were actually kind of a middle class group of people. The area of Galilee at that time was the rich part of Israel or Palestine because the Romans didn't control it. But most of the commerce came through that area. So being a fisherman, actually, you had a pretty good living. You weren't rich, but you weren't the poorest of the poor either. So it was kind of a middle class. It was very wealthy. You had people on both sides of the Sea of Galilee buying fish all the time, so it was a very lucrative type of business. It's very prosperous. There was a saying among the rabbis in Jerusalem that if you want to get to know who God is, come to Jerusalem. But if you want to be rich, go live in Galilee. So there was this idea that in that section of the country, there was wealth to be made. It was kind of like the financial district of Israel at that time. So these guys, we have a tendency to think they were uneducated too. All you have to do is read through the book of Matthew or Peter's epistles or James. These guys were not dummies. They probably spoke three or four different languages. We know they spoke Hebrew. We know they spoke Aramaic. They wrote in Greek. Okay, so there's three right there. And may had a little bit of some other cultures that they, you know, the language would are similar. If you speak Spanish, you probably can understand someone who's Italian or somebody who speaks Portuguese. Okay, the languages are a little bit different, but there's a lot of similarities in there. So we see that these guys were not uneducated like maybe the world would paint them to be, or maybe even our preconceived ideas would think that these guys weren't that smart. But they had an education. It was very common for Jewish families to raise their children, and they had a very good education. And most of them raised them on what? A knowledge of the Scripture. It was the overriding principle of all their education. There was a story one time where a young man came to his father who was a rabbi, and he said, I want to study Greek philosophy and logic. And the father looked at his son, and he says, well, what does the Scripture say? You know, he says, when you're done studying the Scriptures, you can go study your Greek philosophy and logic. And he says, but what does the Scripture say? He says, well, study day and night. Meditate day and night. He says, well, when it's not day or night, you can go study the Greek Scriptures. But the other time, you're going to study God's Word. Okay? So that should consume us. So we see the other ones here. The only other ones that they might have a feeling, we look down there, Simon the Zealot. He may have been involved in some type of political movement. We know as a zealot, who knows what a zealot is? You know what a zealot is, Matt? If I say you're zealous for a cause, what does that mean? You have passion. Okay? So we see people, a zeal. We see people today. Maybe it's, you know, in the civil rights movement where people would get together, link arms. They were zealous for a cause. Today, maybe the women's movement or some type of political movement where they're zealous for ideas and principles. So we know he was given that name. So he obviously was involved with some group, but we don't know what his standing was or what his influence was. But yet he was known as Simon the Zealot. But it's kind of a good indication of what his character was. He had a passion for what he did. You ever talk to anybody that's passionate about politics? Everywhere you go, it's going, okay, will you shut up? Okay, I don't want to talk about that no more. Now, with me, it might be sports or it might be the scriptures. We all have a passion in different areas that we like to talk about. My passion's everything. Okay, so we see that he may have been a political leader. The only other one we really kind of have an idea, Judas Iscariot. He was the treasurer, wasn't he, for the apostles? And so why would Jesus assign this task to him? Well, he's got a tax collector in the group. I don't know about you, but a tax collector would know how to handle money, wouldn't he? He would know about numbers and paying the temple tax and the Roman tax and all that other stuff. So they think that Judas himself might have been some type of accountant or even came from some type of financial background. But we're not really sure. That's how they started. When Christ came to them, they were average people, weren't they? They were unknown. They were like us. Where were you when Christ came and spoke to you? I know the first time I had received a phone call when I was at in college, and I was playing baseball up there. It was my second year up there, and this guy called me, and he says, hey, my name is Harry Haney. I'll never forget that name. You remember Mr. Haney from Green Acres? Drove the truck, was always had some con going, Douglas. Mr. Douglas, I got in the back of my truck. He was like just a con man. But this guy, Harry Haney, calls me, and he says, I'm from Campus Crusade. See, back in those days, they weren't afraid to use that name, but yeah, I thought it was the college newspaper. He goes, I'd like to come by and interview you. Okay, now this is how communication. He's thinking he's going to come by and share Christ with me. I don't know what Campus Crusade is. I thought it was the paper. I thought he wanted to come talk to me because I was on the baseball team, and I was a good player. So he wants to come get an article, wants to know how the upcoming season's going to be, and I'm going to be in the paper, blah, 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 my head just... So he shows up at the door, knocks, and I look through the little keyhole, and I see this guy standing there, and I guess he was a hipster before I was hip to be a hipster, because he had a beard that was like out to here. He put Brian's beard to shame back there. And I'm looking, I'm like, who the heck is this guy? Maybe the Amish are collecting for Christmas. So I open the door, he's got the white shirt on, he's got 5 pins, he's got tracks hanging out, he's got crumbs in his beard, and I'm going, oh God, this is one of those Christians. That's the first thing that went through my mind when I opened that door. And a Bible that could choke an elephant. I mean, this thing was like, he's walking like this because the doggone thing was so heavy. So he came in, and I'm like, okay, I'm being nice to him, and I'm like thinking in the back of my head, how do I get rid of this guy? Okay, because I wasn't, as forthright back then. I was kind of shy, believe that or not, Elma. Yeah. So he sat down, he handed me a little track, and it was called The Four Spiritual Laws. I don't know if any of you ever saw it. And he walked me through it. And it was at that time, I said, yeah, I agree with everything. Well, would you like to give your life to Christ? Yeah. And I mean, I was serious. And I did. And that was kind of the start. And I started running into people. Okay? And so it was just this ordinary guy, a guy never would have gave the time of day, to come and sit down and have coffee with me or whatever, just because of the way he looked, but through all the circumstances, how God opened that door.
Did you give your life to the Lord that very first day?
Yeah. Now, did that mean that I lived my life for God from that very first day? No. But what began to happen was, things begin to change. I go to a party or something. I go, God, it's stupid, And over a period of time, over a course of probably a couple of years, my whole view began to change. So it wasn't something that, some people had that miraculously, they're delivered from whatever it might be. But for me, it was a process. And like I said, I started running into different people over that period of time, and it strengthened my faith. Let's look here real quick at how these guys, we see how they started out. They were kind of relatively unknown, but the ending. We see the Andrew. Now, some of these we know for sure. Other ones are questionable, but we know that almost every one of them was martyred for their faith except for John. And they tried to kill the Apostle John, but they were unsuccessful. So they sent him to Patmos. They exiled him. We see Andrew, crucifixion. Him and Peter both were crucified, tradition tells us, upside down. We were told that they felt unworthy to suffer in the same manner that their Lord and Savior Jesus did. And so the Romans said, hey, we don't care. Just turn that cross upside down. And they crucified them upside down. We see James died. He was run through with a spear. John, he probably died a natural cause. He's the only one that we know that lived past the destruction of Jerusalem, which was in 70 AD. So when you read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the book of Revelation, these are warnings as to what was about to happen to the nation right there. He lived through the decimation of the destruction of Palestine by the Romans. Incredible story. And then some historians, they write that seeing him after that time. Matthew, he was burned to death, and then he was flayed. You know what to be flayed means? Cut up, yeah. We have Matthew was burned. Philip was crucified. Bartholomew, he was flayed also. Thomas, spear. Jude, Thaddeus, sawed, and then chopped up into pieces. What was that movie, Braveheart? Remember at the end there, he was drawn and quartered? Yeah, that's kind of what happened here. James, son of Alphaeus, he was thrown off a tower. It was 100 feet high, and he was still alive, so they decided to take some clubs and beat him to death the rest of the way. You ever see the movie Casino? At the end of the movie, Joe Pesci, what do? They're out in a cornfield, all of a sudden they pull out the baseball bats, and they start beating him to death, and then they had a grave. Him and his brother, and they were still alive. They dragged him and tossed him in there and buried him alive, every bone in their body broken. And that's probably the same thing that happened there. We know Judas Iscariot committed suicide. And then Matthias, we're told that he was stoned and beheaded. Okay? So what was it that these men possessed that allowed them to face and endure such horrific suffering? Was it their natural strength and abilities? No. And we have, I got four different scriptures down there. If we move down, attributes which made the apostles great. There was nothing in their that they possessed naturally. And how do we know this? Because when they came for Jesus, what happened? We read they all ran away. They all fled. So I put those down, and we're not going to have time to go through it. Look at those. Okay? Because it just tell you, they all fled. They all ran away. One guy, Mark. They grabbed his cloak. He took off and left all his clothes. He fled naked. And then we know Peter, what happened to him? Him and John followed at a distance, worked their way into the courtyard, and then what Peter was known for? Standing up and boldly proclaiming, I'm a follower of Christ. Okay? He denied him three times. And so we see that they were not men of great extraordinary courage. They were average men. If we were put in those situations, how would we react? But the attribute that made them great was when they were empowered from on high by the Spirit of God Himself. You know, one of Bob's favorite scriptures, Acts 1:8, which says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And from the time that the Holy Spirit came upon them, these ordinary men and women, these unsung heroes, now begin to do extraordinary feats for the one true God. It was nothing they possessed of themselves, but it was a supernatural empowerment. That word empower is the word dunamis, that we get the Greek word, we actually get our English word dynamite from. So an explosion of power. And we know from the day of Pentecost that these men and these women went forth and what? boldly begin to proclaim the good news in all the world. And we see how they all died. I mean, what was it that transformed them from running away to being men and women that would go through these horrific types of deaths for their Lord and Savior? There was only one thing, and it was the empowerment. Acts chapter 2 through 28. Every chapter. The book of Acts should really be entitled The Acts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, working through average people. Because these people could do nothing of their own. Let's close with a couple scriptures. Go to the bottom here, Acts 3, 11 through 16. We'll just read this one. The other ones are similar to it. Who has that? And find that for us there, Sharon, would you? We'll end with that. The other two are just very similar.
While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place of Solomon's colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus and Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see."
Okay, so we see that Peter quickly acknowledges it's not by our power or by our abilities that this man stands here. Remember this, Peter and John going up to the temple for the hour of prayer. They meet the beggar. "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give to you. Walk in the name of Jesus." He jumped up and boom. All the people knew this guy. They came running. And now he tells them, "Hey, it was nothing we possess. This man stands healed because of the name of Jesus Christ and faith in the name of Jesus Christ." It wasn't Don Woolen Ministries or, you know, so-and-so or this guy that had this. It was simply through faith in the name of Jesus Christ. I like how our opening scripture in Corinthians 1:26-30, it says this, "But let him who boasts, boast in the Lord his God." It is by his power, his might, we have nothing we can do except to rely upon him in every and all situations. When you do that, he'll take the unsung heroes and use them to do something great for his name. Let's close in prayer. Father, we give you thanks today. And Father, as we go into the Christmas service here, I pray, Father, that you would just touch each and every one of us. Lord, that we would recognize where we came from and why we are here today is because of you and only because of you. And Lord, we pray, too, that we would always remember where you've called us from. We thank you for the salvation that we all enjoy. We thank you for the family you've brought us into. Now, Father, we pray your blessing upon everything we set our hand to do. Lord, we just pray for this holiday season. Lift up Bob to you and his knee. I know that he's not even able to get up. All those that are sick in the body, Lord, move upon them. And Lord, we just thank you. We love you. Just bless this service. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.